Board of Adjustment. Stephanie, can you do roll call, please?
Scarlett.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
McGill absent, Brecky absent.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. We're going to move item number 4 under the hearings to follow the first one. So we'll just make that change. Is that right,
yes.
Jerry?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. So do we need a motion to approve it or just verbal consent?
Either.
Either? Okay.
So, yeah, I agree.
You agree?
Agree.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Minutes of the previous meeting. You have copies from our May 15th meeting that were sent out. Does anybody have any changes to that? Those minutes?
No changes.
Okay. If not, a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to approve the minutes from our May 15th meeting. We also need to approve the findings of facts from our previous meeting, so we need a motion for that, please.
Motion to approve the findings of fact from last meeting.
Thank you. That would be the March of 19. Second?
You better second it. I wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Can I second it, even though I'm the chair?
Thank you, Ken.
Okay. I'll second it. So all those in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed, say nay. Okay. Those pass. Public comments. This is the time in the meeting when we invite members of the community to talk about any concerns they have of items that are not on the agenda. So is there anybody here that wants to speak to anything that's not on our agenda today? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the public comments. And we will move on to hearings. Number one, discussion and consideration of CUP 05-19, the Story County Wind LLC conversion of existing wind energy conversion systems. Jerry.
Okay, and before you start, I just want to find out from the board. We heard earlier in the week that two members need to leave early for a 6 o'clock appointment. Is that still the case?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. If I could leave by 6:15.
And because there's three members, it takes three members to approve a report.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so this is a wind energy conversion system project at CUP 05-19. The applicants are also requesting a variance, which is 02-19. They're requesting variances on the setback requirement from road right-of-way. There's 16 wind energy systems that they're requesting that variance to, and there's a communication line, ITC, has a line that extends through a central portion of an existing area, and there's four systems that would be impacted by that variance. So this is Story County Wind 1. Property is located in northeast Story County. It impacts Warren, Lincoln, and Sherman townships, so it's three townships. We're in the A1 agricultural district. For the most part, it's agricultural row crop is the land use with the addition of the wind energy conversion systems. Land use map, the C2C designation is agricultural conservation area. Cities within 2 miles of the project would be McCallsburg, Zering, and Colo. We did communicate, send notices to those cities. There's also Consumers Energy, Midland Power, and Alliant Energy. I would also like to indicate tonight that Jeffrey Bryce and Kimberly Dickey are here to represent this request, along with their team, and they're going to provide some input and address questions that you might have. So the project is, again, it involves 100 existing systems. They're located in the northeast part of the county. The plan is to remove the existing rotors, which are 77 meters long, and they want to change out 50 of those to 87 meter long rotors. And half of those 50 would be 91 meter rotors. And then the output would produce totally 1.62 megawatts of energy. The structural tower support and the foundations will stay the same. They will not be affected by this. So the height of these new systems will be approximately 412 feet in height for the 91 meter rotors, 405 feet high for the 87 meter rotors. They're proposing a 10 acre laydown yard, which would be just north of where their current operations and maintenance facility is on 720th Avenue, south of Zering. That's at the southwest corner of 180th Street and 720th Avenue. Again, their operations and maintenance facility is at 18327 720th Avenue. This is located south of Zering. Applicant, as I mentioned, is requesting variances from the road right-of-way setback for 16 units, as well as the setback from the ITC electrical communications line. Each of these units, though, will meet the setback distance based on the proposed height. But our ordinance requires a 1.1 times that height from the road right-of-way and from communication lines. So this shows you the area that they're going to be working in. We're in two townships. Again, this is Warren to the west, to the east, Lincoln, south is Sherman townships. This shows you the proposed laydown yard. Again, it's just north of where their maintenance facility is. We're in the northeast of the northeast quarter, section 15, 180th and 720th Avenue. This shows you the site plan. This is the same location that they staged when they built the project back in 2008, 2009. And it just shows you general employee parking area, location on the north end for trailers, Kaibos, other equipment locations. This represents the approximate area that they call this the 2 mile radius. So all of the wind energy systems will be located inside this blue line. And this is the detail. So in numbering, the far northwest side is number one, and then it numbers down to number 100 in that southeast area of that outline boundary. So project schedule is, they're proposing to get started in July. And take delivery of items. The operation tentative start time is November of this year. Benefits that were communicated to the county from the applicant indicate that they're proposing to improve efficiencies with the turbine, that they've made $5.1 million annual dollars in lease payments since 2005, and then the impact on property taxes, a little over $12 million since the project started. They estimate the project cost for this project at around $122 million. The initial conditional use permit was approved by the Board of Adjustment 2007, October 3, and again was for these 100 wind energy conversion systems. Surrounding land use, again, primarily agricultural row crops. There are some scattered farmsteads, a few dwellings. They will be required to meet the FAA lighting requirements. The systems will be painted white, and they provided a document that showed that 57 of the units will have the red strobe lights for nighttime lighting for FAA to meet FAA standards. They will be meeting the minimum ground clearance from ground to the peak of the rotor of 75 feet. That's the minimum. They'll exceed that requirement. Our ordinance also requires a 1,000-foot separation from residences, schools, hospitals, churches, or public library. They're gonna meet those requirements. There's also a hangover, a cantilever, requirement to meet, or they have to provide easements, and there's five properties or five units that will be cantilevering over a common property line. They did provide easement documentation for those. I talked about the right-of-way variances that they're requesting. We did receive a letter from ITC in support of the variance that they're requesting. Again, there's four of those units. They will be meeting the county's noise ordinance. We have a maximum of 60 decibels measured from residents, school, hospital, church, or public library. And that documentation was provided by Epsilon Associates, and there's a representative from that company today. Safety, we have requirements that the structure not be climbed from grade to upwards of 15 feet. These are smooth surface. There's a door that's has a locking device. There's a requirement that they provide documentation from an Iowa licensed engineer when they submit the zoning permit information that they'll meet the electrical code requirements as well as the structural requirements, and they have indicated that they will meet those standards. They provided some documentation with regard to cultural resources from Commonwealth Heritage Group. They conducted an analysis for this area, and there were some areas close by. However, because this is a conversion project and not a new construction project, that they thought that there would be very little impact to cultural resources. They also provided a document from Environmental Consulting Technology with regard to migratory bird patterns. And again, they think the impact will be limited because most of this land use is row crop and there's no large wetlands, which are usually areas where migratory birds typically head towards. There's a decommissioning requirement that needs to be provided. The ordinance requires that a engineer provide an analysis on what it would cost to remove the systems, and they are to provide 130% assurance that they could provide that, take care of that cost to remove. And in 2008, when they built these structures, they did provide a document that was acted on by the Board of Supervisors. You have a copy of that actual document in front of you, and that's what will be provided going forward. They did provide an estimate from an engineer on cost to remove the existing equipment that's proposed. They're running, the estimate ran at $3.6 million, so they would be required to provide assurance of 130% of that. Shadow flicker, when the units were constructed, was not a requirement. It was adopted in 2014. So our ordinance requires that they cannot exceed total shadow flicker over a 10-hour period per year on impact to dwellings, schools, hospitals, churches, and public libraries again. And if the units, you take the total height times 10, if there's any of those dwellings, schools, hospital, churches, public libraries within that distance of the proposed improvement, then they have to do an analysis. And they conducted that analysis and provided that information. There were 21 that would be impacted by the county's ordinance. You have a chart in front of you today, and they've worked out agreements with all but eight are ongoing. And so part of the action tonight is they're requesting to defer action on these eight wind energy systems pending completion of the negotiation with the property owners, because our ordinance requires that they meet the standard not to have more than 10 hours of shadow flicker exposure per year, or they negotiate with the landowner. And so again, there's eight.
Per day?
Pardon me?
Per year?
Per year.
10 hours?
10 hours is the maximum. And so there's eight property owners that they're negotiating with currently. And so they'd like to continue on with those that they've reached an agreement with. And then they're asking for a deferral to have the Board of Adjustment address the remaining eight. The route that will be used is Interstate 35, Highway 30, Highway 65. Those are the main corridors. No new private drives will be constructed with this project. We have a requirement for mitigation road maintenance agreement. That document has been submitted and approved by the county engineer, and it's also been reviewed and approved by the county attorney's office. And there's a performance bond that they will be posting for $750,000 in the event that this money is needed to do road improvements. The C2C, or excuse me, the conditional use permit application process requires the Board of Adjustment to consider six different items. The first one is the compatibility of the use with the surrounding area. I will not go through all of the comments. I'll provide some comment with regard to that. Again, these have been in effect. They've been constructed since 2008, 2009, so they've been in place for 10 years. Predominant land use is agricultural row crop. Transition, for the most part, it's open space, farm ground. It's not advantageous to have plantings or require trees to buffer it. It does impact the performance of the systems. Traffic, again, during the construction of this changeover, they'll work this out with the DOT, with the county engineer's office. And as I mentioned, we have an approved agreement for maintenance of the road. Parking and loading, they will not be allowed to actually park on a county road. They do have this lay down yard, which will be used. That's a 10-acre site for trucks, employee vehicles, equipment, that type of thing, as well as the sites themselves. We have some conditions too, as far as cleanliness and removal of items from the lay down yard, which I'll go through. No new signs or lighting are proposed other than the night lights that's required by the FAA. Environmental protection, again, they'll meet the 60 decibel requirements. They provided a documentation on that. They're going to be primarily using the paved roads, as I mentioned. This is the site photos. This is right just north of where the proposed Met Tower will be. There's a row of five or six wind energy conversion systems. We're looking to the east. You can see they actually have a posted speed limit with some additional information on the units. That's the base of it. Additional standards, we provided additional information in the staff report. I'm not planning on going through those unless the board has questions. We did, and again, so this is dealing with the variance request. There's four or five things that need to be addressed with that. The principal, the first thing is the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone. Principle of reasonable return asks the board to consider if, without a variance, a property owner cannot establish any beneficial use on their property. The applicant has, again, been operating their system for 10 years. Many benefits have been provided due to the location in this area. This is, selected due to the abundance of wind in this location of the county. The plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not to general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself. The principle of reasonable return asks the board to consider if, without a variance, a property owner cannot establish any beneficial use of the property. The goal of the applicant is to continue operation of the wind energy conversion systems, to remain viable and improve operation efficiencies, updated equipment with the latest technologies needed to be installed at their current location, and it's important that all systems receive the same upgrades to achieve the overall optimum objective. The use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. The structural supports and foundations, again, will stay in their current locations. The increased rotors will assist with improved operational efficiencies. Granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. Granting the variance would not be contrary. All 16 of the wind energy conversion systems will be located a substantial distance from the roads. They'll meet the distance requirements based on their height, but not the 1.1 factor that's required. Typically, if there's an issue with a monopole type structure, usually you have a folding over effect. And again, we do have a letter from the communications company in support of the request. And the spirit intent of the Story County Development Plan and Story County Land Development Regulations are protected. The comp plan and the land development regulations have similar spirits and intent to maintain the county's rural character, protect productive ag farm ground from encroachment and non-ag uses, and support uses that are compatible with agricultural uses. They have agreements with all of the landowners. Background on communication: we had a conceptual review initially, June 28, 2018. We received the submittal on May 20 of this year. We provided questions and comments, which the applicant responded to. That information's in the staff report. Other communications, again, we did send notice to McCallsburg, Zirin, Colo. We did communicate too with the communications companies in the area. We received no responses to date. We did send notices May 28, and again, generally, five emails and phone calls. One was a general inquiry about the project. One had a question about the county's shadow flicker standards. One was actually from the property owner, where they're proposing the laydown yard. One was an absent landowner from California who wanted to know about proximity of their property to the proposed project. And both of the properties they cited were within 3/4 of a mile away. And then we had another property owner inquire about shadow flicker. At the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, June 5, Jeff and his team did provide some input. We went through the staff report, and again, they're here to answer any questions that you might have. We did have a few folks from the general public. One wanted to know where the rotors would be manufactured, and they're going to be manufactured in North Dakota, Arkansas, and Texas. One wanted to know about shadow flicker. They wanted to know if, you know, if they were able to, you know, talk to them and negotiate to include them with the negotiations. And my understanding is that's something that they were taking that person's information to learn more about their proximity and to communicate with them. And so points to consider is the C2C process is to encourage the compatibility of the proposed development with the environment and with the existing and future land uses in the area. Story County Wind has been operating in the area for 10 years through the CUP. The Story County Wind expresses their commitment with landowners and the county to continue producing wind energy, and it is planned that the proposed new wind components will increase their operational efficiency, extend operational life cycle, and create economic opportunity in the county. So with that, the Planning and Zoning Commission, again, they approved this with a 6-0 vote of the conditional use permit with these conditions. They're also requesting the variances from setback to right-of-way and the electric line. So the seven conditions are: the applicant shall submit documentation from an Iowa licensed engineer with the zoning permit. Applications are submitted for proposed systems, that they'll meet the electrical code, and that they'll comply with the structural weight. And they've agreed to do that. They did provide us information from an engineer. They're going to provide additional assurance on the decommissioning component. The shadow flicker, again, they're requesting deferral of eight of those existing systems. The ITC, the applicant shall submit documentation from ITC the owner of the electrical transmission that they support the request. They did provide that. We have a road agreement in place that's been reviewed by the county attorney's office and the county engineer. And then there's two additional items, any crates, packaging materials, worn parts, oil, lubricant containers, barrels, anything associated with this project shall be removed from the sites or laid on yard and discarded in a timely manner, meeting county and state requirements, not to exceed 30 days after the project completion. They've agreed to that. And then all equipment and supplies shall be removed from that laid on yard area within 90 days after the project. And they've agreed to that. So that brings us to the alternatives, which is alternative two. The Board of Adjustment approves the conditional use permit request for the wind energy conversion project, which is CUP 0519 with conditions, including the variance, which is 0219. And it also includes their request to defer action on those. It's actually eight conversion systems. And with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions. And as I mentioned, Kimberly and Jeff are here along with their team. Okay.
Board, any questions for Jerry?
Why the additional setback?
It's just an additional standard. It's in our ordinance.
Yeah.
That they be at least 1.1 times the total height.
Right. Okay. But that's, you're saying that.
But these units will be, you know, if they were to fall, they would still fall and be outside of the road right away. It's just an additional separation requirement.
Okay.
From the right-of-way line and the electric transmission.
Okay.
And now they need more because the rotor's taller?
Even with these, there would be that setback requirement. But because they're taller, you've got a greater setback requirement.
Jerry, what happens with the eight remaining negotiations? Those towers can't be constructed until those are negotiated?
They have to meet the shadow flicker requirements, or they have to negotiate with the landowner, and they're fully aware of that.
So if we table that, the project continues, but those specific towers have to be resolved.
Correct.
What if negotiations don't go through?
Well, then, again, they have to meet the requirement, so they're going to have to make adjustments to their project, but
okay. It doesn't
their project
stop the
works,
project.
Works only if they're able to do everything they want to do with the 100 units that they've constructed.
Good. Are there representatives here?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm just educating myself a little bit further, and I'm just looking out for the people of Story County. So what scientific studies have you presented to the people that assure them their health is not in jeopardy?
Sure. Would you like me to get
yep.
on my
phone? Please, yeah. State your name and address,
Absolutely.
Please.
You
ever
hear me?
Yes.
Very good. My name is Jeffrey Bryce. I'm the project manager here for Story County Winds. Address is 700 Universe Boulevard, Juneau Beach, Florida, 33408. What studies have been conducted really are numerous. We conducted not only a noise and shadow flicker assessment, and we have Ryan Callahan here from Epsilon, the third party that conducted those assessments for us. He can speak a little bit more about the results and the findings of those. But I can't say that both the shadow flicker and noise study were conducted. Mm-hmm. With the noise, as Jerry's statement found, we met Story County regulations. We didn't have any exceedances there. With shadow flicker, however, we did have a few exceedances. When the site was originally built back in 2008, Story County did not have a shadow flicker ordinance in place. The maintenance we're proposing here today will not alter the actual location of the turbines. We're not asking to build any more. So foundations, the tower locations were made unchanged. So with that being said, we had shadow flicker exceedances today that do not meet the current Story County Code.
Mm-hmm.
So in an effort to move forward with this maintenance exercise, we elected to conform with the new Story County ordinance as much as possible, shadow flicker being one of those ordinances that we'd like to meet. So we went out, we identified the areas that had the exceedances. After meeting with Jerry and staff, we determined that we need to have a waiver in place for any of those exceedances, or we need the 10 hours of shadow flicker per year, those regulations. So we had a quick question on what would happen if the negotiations were to stall on any of those eight. And the simple answer is I am then legally bound to not incur more than 10 hours of shadow flicker on any of those dwellings. And like I said, I can invite Ryan up, who can talk a little bit more about how we derive those numbers and the study that's in front of you and then the findings that there are. But the long story short is I'm fully aware that if there is no waiver in place or no consent from the landowner, that no shadow flicker shall occur more than 10 hours per year on any of those dwellings.
What about a study I read was talking about not even the amount of noise, but the disturbance of air pressure coming from those in close proximity to farmhouses?
Sure. So the Story County ordinance also includes a 1,000-foot setback from any dwellings. This was included back when the site was originally built. And again, I can invite somebody with a little more knowledge in that specific field up to speak. But with the 1,000-foot setback with the wind farm as it currently is today, there's very little risk around that.
Even with the bigger paddles?
Yes.
Sorry.
Bigger blades. Yeah.
Okay.
So the bigger blades, we talked a little bit about this as well. We did see that there are two different types of blades, an 87-meter rotor iron and a 91. Really, only about a 4-meter difference there. But what's important to remember is we were given those 50 smaller blade kits, the 87s, and working with my team, we strategically placed those around receptors, around dwellings and homes, so that the turbines closest to homes have the smaller blades. And we were trying to limit any impact that we could to the community. We believe that this is working towards that. If you have further questions on any of those, I would like to invite Ryan up. He can speak a little bit more intelligently about the studies and the findings.
Well, in any situation, there's this study and there's that study. So
exactly.
Of course. They've been up a little bit longer. I'm not,
And I don't know, I know we're not in a public comment portion yet, so I did have a few remarks, but I'll save that for when we
Go ahead.
Again, thank you. A few things I did want to just touch on again are this is no new construction. This wind farm has been a member of the community for 10 years. We at Story County Wind are very excited to remain a member of this community for another 10 to 15 years. We love being here. As you look around the room, you can see little artifacts of wind energy in the room. And we love being a part of Iowa and Story County. I've got a few folks here. Mostly the majority of the room is with one of my representatives. But the guy sitting right back here, this is Nick and his team. They are actually the operation and control managers of the facility. They're the guys that like to get out there and climb those ladders every day and climb the top of the turbine. So if you ever want to hear a fun story about them hanging outside of the turbine, make sure they can fill you in. But, we like to bring them along to let you folks know that we have members of the community that live here that are part of this, and we like to tell that story. Secondly, we did talk a little bit about the shadow flicker and how it wasn't a condition of approval back in 2008. It was adopted in 2013, but we are doing everything in our effort to conform with that standard today. And I just want to initiate that again. And then lastly, through Jerry's findings here, we are meeting every condition of approval here. We are excited to extend the life of this project. We talked a little bit about timeline. We're looking to get started in July, moving into August for deliveries and construction, but finishing up before the end of the year, preferably before Thanksgiving, to really stay out of everybody's way. We know it's not an optimal time to meet with everybody, or to get out to everybody's field, but we are committed. I have Donnie here as well, who will be my project manager during the construction of the site, to ensure that all landowners know exactly who to contact if they have any questions or concerns about their individual property and when they can really see us out there and do work in their fields. Make sure any of their questions get answered.
Go ahead.
I was going to say with that, I was going to myself up for questions.
When you're talking, negotiating with the, I think there's two done, maybe six to go. Is that strictly on the, on what the flicker?
So those are the
issue?
Incidences on the shadow flicker. We had 20 that were identified originally, and we've gone through and placed agreements with the vast majority of those. We are still working through the ones that you see there. It's by no means are they no or anything like that. We're really still working through the attorneys talking to each other, making sure that the language makes sense to the landowner as well. We're very cognizant that that folks can be a little hesitant to sign up a big piece of paper. So we encourage all of our landowners to go out and seek their own counsel and ensure that they are protected as well. So that's really what you're seeing there is a little bit of back and forth from the attorneys. I feel very confident. Look, we said this project's been a member of the community. We're excited to keep that going that way, and I believe that there's a middle ground here for all of us where we can keep the project operating in a safe fashion that still provides benefits to the county. But moreover, you see that number there, and shadow flickers become a kind of a topic or a talking point for a lot of wind farms these days. What's also important to remember is the current agreement that landowners have in place with us that was executed back in 2008 has a provision in there that protects them, especially for this scenario here where we're proposing to come in and do a maintenance exercise, more specifically on shadow flicker. And it requires me that if I do any sort of maintenance exercise like this, that I re-engage all those landowners to ensure that there are no complaints out there, that any of their needs are getting met. Now, we have a lot of different mitigation strategies we can talk through with each individual landowner. I'm excited to say that we can invite our land team out there to visit with them one-on-one and experience what they're experiencing one-off, and then offer mitigation strategies, planting trees, planting shrubbery, installing time-sensitive curtains that would close for the few hours a year that it would occur. We did talk about a little bit about 10 hours per year, but if you stretch that over the 8,760 hours in a year, it really breaks down to, on average, a few minutes a day. And then break that down to the morning and the evening again.
Okay.
So in any event, what I'm trying to summarize is that we're more than willing to work with all of our landowners. I'm excited to continue operating in this community.
All right. Did you have any questions, Matthew?
The lay-down yard,
yes,
that would likely be in place July through the end of the project, so the end of the year, roughly.
Yes, sir. So Jerry did have a quick picture of that diagram there. It's really a staging site for our construction trailer. Moreover, we will we'll also be working out of our operation and maintenance facility, which is just to the south.
There's a copy.
Or to the south, I guess the south is off to your left. But yes, this is the proposed site. It's the same site we used originally the first time, except that it'll be vastly different. With this maintenance exercise, I don't need to haul any of the rebar, concrete, nearly the scale that we saw the original first time the project was built. So more or less, this will be a place for nuts and bolts, copper, internal components of the wind turbine that really can't be stored out the elements at the individual turbine sites.
Okay.
And I'd like to add as well that this site, it being used the first time, it was also, we got with both your county roads department as well as Iowa Department of Transportation to ensure that all parties have got to see this, make sure that the roads that we've asked to use are acceptable for everybody. During this maintenance period, just like the original construction, all road maintenance that occurs on these identified roads is up to NextEra and Story Wind to make sure that those roads are kept in safe conditions during all the maintenance periods. As well as when the site is reclaimed, we moved out, a pre-road inventory will be conducted. We'll drive the roads with your county representatives to ensure the current condition is adequate for when we need, to make sure that we didn't leave roads in a worse condition than when we originally thought.
How much of this power stays in state versus goes out of state?
So I'm happy to say that Alliant Energy is the, or Alliant Cooperative, I should say, is the purchaser of the energy from Story Wind County. So we are happy to say that all of it.
That's good.
So, and I can touch on that briefly as well, is like why are we doing this maintenance exercise? And mainly that's because when we signed our original agreements, our power purchase agreements, as they're called, back in 2008, commodity prices were much higher. It just cost more to build wind energy back then. Since then, as with anything, technology has improved and prices have come down. So we reapproached our customer and discussed lengthening the term of their contract to extend it for about another 15 years, and in doing so, we were able to offer them a cheaper price per megawatt hour, as we would call it. But they were able to pay less for the energy, and we were able to increase the efficiency of the site. So more or less, hopefully those savings are passed directly on to the customers in the Alliant area. That's the ultimate goal, is to produce cheaper energy for a lower cost for the consumer.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And just in closing, I'd like to just thank the board again for taking the time to hear us out tonight. I do have representatives from almost every group present here tonight, should any questions come up during discussions. And with that, we respectfully request the adoption of the unanimous recommendation by the planning board, as well as staff's comment. And again, I am available for any further questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. With that, we'll open it up to our public. So if anyone has a comment from the public they'd like to make about this CUP, come up to the podium, state your name and address, and make your comments. Nobody? All right. With that said, we'll close that portion of the discussion, and the board will discuss what we want to do.
You want to make an amendment?
Sure.
Motion.
Yeah. Motion to approve CUP 0519 as listed. Option two there with the conditions and table the.
Eight.
Table the eight remaining negotiations about the shadow flicker.
Seconded.
All right. We have a motion by Matthew, a second by Karen to approve. Roll call vote, please.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye. All right. With that said, it passes. So we'll move on to our next item.
Number four.
Oh, yes. Yeah, number four. I got to find the right piece of paper. So now we will have a discussion and consideration of CUP 0619, Story County Wind, Met Tower, Marcus Anman. Is this Jerry's or Marcus?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
You're fine. All right, so what this conditional use permit is for a temporary meteorological tower. What this is in support of the wind energy conversion system upgrade. This will provide power performance information to...
Speak into the microphone.
We'll provide that information to Story County Wind and how the area is producing for them. So this is a new conditional use permit, installation of this temporary tower. It's planned to be removed after 2 years. Again, provide performance data. It's 80 meters tall or 267 feet. There's no ground disruption to install this. It's self-contained, so no new utilities, little to no noise generation, and they have a completed decommissioning agreement. And so right there is the proposed site for the temporary tower. As you can see there, it's outside of the floodplain and right near that row of six wind energy conversion systems. It's a view of the proposed site facing north. The only other structure on the proposed site is this bin on the southern edge of the parcel. So this is what the Met Tower will look like as they're erecting it. Because of how it's designed, there's no disturbance to the ground, no concrete's poured. It's on a steel base plate, and then it's guy wired for stability. At the guy wires and around the base, there will be fencing. They have provided that documentation for to make it so it is not climbable or anyone could run into it. Going to the standards of approval for this. Communication towers and facilities are permitted as conditional use in the A1 zoning district if a conditional use permit is granted. Proposed site, as well as the majority of the surrounding land, is agricultural row crop, and all setback requirements as listed in 90.086 will be met. The tower is the proposed site is 864 feet east of the 710th Avenue right-of-way and 667 feet north the 210th street right-of-way. The nearest dwelling is over 2,000 feet to the southeast of the proposed site. Again, it's not climbable. Fencing will be around. The only traffic that's expected in conjunction with installation of the Met Tower is a 3/4-ton pickup truck, and it will not be parked anywhere off or on county roads. It'll go directly onto the parcel while they are installing it. Again, no parking in any right-of-way. No signs are planned for the tower. However, there will be lighting in compliance with FAA, which will be the red light and the alternating bands of the aviation orange and white. Since there's no ground disturb, there's little to no environmental impact anticipated. Again, it just sits on a 3.5-foot by 3.5-foot steel plate. There's no concrete. After the lease has expired, Story County Wind will have all of the components removed and restore the site to its original condition per their decommissioning agreement. And then, so we had concept review May 2nd. All questions that we had for the applicant, they provided responses to, and again, all of that is in the staff report. From the Planning and Zoning Commission, they did not have any comments. They voted approval 6-0. There were no comments from any of the public during that meeting or outside of it. So the recommended conditions that the planning and development staff recommend for the conditional use permit application as put forth in the KCUP 06-19 is that the Met may be located on the subject property for 2 years. The performance bond of $21,060 to cover decommissioning costs shall be submitted and reviewed by the Story County Attorney's Office prior to application for a zoning permit for the Met. And with that, we recommend option two, that the Story County Board of Adjustment recommends the conditional use permit for Story County Wind LLC Met Tower as put forth in CUP 06-19 with conditions. Any questions?
Why the limited time? Why 2 years?
It's temporary.
Okay.
And then after that time period, they can ask for an extension.
Okay.
But I think that meets within their planning.
All right.
I'm assuming there's a formula for the answer to my question, but why 21,060?
That's the formula for how much it would cost to bring it back down.
Okay.
So.
All right. Very slightly.
All okay. In the numbers.
Yep. I would like to. Public. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Did you have any questions, Ben? Are you
representing? Unless you have any questions for me, I think it was a great presentation and explains the purpose of the device.
Okay.
Yep.
With that said, are there any comments from the public regarding this request? No? You guys are very quiet. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and close that portion of the meeting, and I'll entertain a motion regarding the CUP.
I'll move to accept the alternative number two, where the Story County Board of Adjustment recommends conditional use permit for Story County Wind LLC MET Tower as put forth in KCUP 06-19 with conditions.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Youngberg and a second by Matthew to approve the conditional use permit with the conditions. Roll call vote. Stephanie.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye. Okay, with that said, that passes. So we will move on. Thank you.
If I may, I was going to send these guys home, but I don't want to make a disturbance before you hear your next thing, if that was okay with the board.
Oh, that's fine. Go ahead. That's fine.
Yes, feel free to. Thank you guys for your thanks. They can leave if they like to.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Thank you again for your
time. You're welcome.
And Jerry does have all my contact information. Please feel free to call any questions or pass along your decision.
Okay, thank you. Did you have a sample?
We did. This was the meteorological tower. This is the device on top.
That's the noise.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome.
Are we ready for item three?
Yeah. I need two, right? Are we doing that one first?
Yeah, it's item two. We moved up four. Yeah. It's third. Yeah.
All right, sorry. Okay, so
third
now.
Request 03-19, minimum construction ball pit.
Yes. Go ahead, Jerry.
It's actually Marcus.
Oh, Marcus, Jerry. Okay.
All right, so variance 03-19 is the Manoa Barrow Pit. It is located at the dead end of 245th Street. The property owner is CG Lee Joint Venture as well, and Mark Gannon.
Who's here today?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the nature of this request, the variance request of 17 feet from a 50-foot required front setback to a 33-foot setback. The Barrow Pit was used for dirt and sand in support of the Iowa DOT realignment of I-35 northbound to Highway 30 eastbound and the I-35 northbound to Highway 30 westbound flyover. The dirt was used also as pads for the cranes while in use. There's only 400 to 500 cubic yards of dirt that's still in use by those cranes that's going to be returned to the site. The variance request as a whole is for 17 feet. The Barrow Pit is currently 33 feet from the right-of-way instead of the required 50 feet per the A1 as well as mineral extraction regulations with a depth of approximately 10 feet. The remaining 400 to 500 cubic yards that they still have of dirt is not enough to move that setback. The applicant informed us that in order to move that setback, it would be 8,000 cubic yards of material that they would need. So a little bit of history about this project. The property owner entered into an agreement with Manoa Construction to allow the extraction of dirt and sand in support of the Iowa DOT activities in the immediate area. Upon completion, Manoa use of the pit, the property owner was going to use the pit as a pond and stock it with fish. There were complications with the Iowa DOT project leading to the initial conditional use permit for the Barrow Pit requiring two extensions that were approved. The Barrow Pit is nearing completion. However, during a staff site visit, it was found that the front of the pit was not meeting the front setback required by the A1 zoning district as well as that mineral extraction. There is that still at 400 to 500 cubic yards of dirt and sand that have not been returned to the pit, but it will take approximately 8,000 cubic yards at around $2.50 per cubic yard, totaling just in the dirt $20,000 to move that. That's the location of the Barrow Pit just south of that interchange.
Where the red star is.
So that is aerial of the Barrow Pit that Manoa Construction provided for us. This was prior to them doing more work. They did some more grading in that pit. So just kind of a further setback of that. There is the floodplain. About half of the Barrow Pit sits within the floodplain. So as one of the conditions later on, Manoa is required to show that this won't affect that floodplain at all.
There's no rise.
There's no additional rise. Right. So this was taken on June 18th. That shows where the road sits, where the right-of-way is, and then as that berm starts to go up a little bit, that's where that setback should have been. It's at 33 feet right now. That's where the 50-foot should have been moved out further to the south there. facing east, standing on top of the 4 foot wide berm that's on top, kind of stepping down in so you can see that slope that is in the pit.
The county has a 5-to-1 slope, which is a 20% grade into the body of water.
And facing south from the northwest corner, you can see that area they didn't need to, they'd already seeded it and it didn't meet the slope already, so they didn't have to grade any of that. So you can see that vegetation has already started to take hold there. Facing southeast at that corner, just across the entire pond. From the west, facing towards I-35 in the northeast corner of the pit. And down that slope, showing how it looks now. And Manoa Construction was able to provide us with slopes measurements on all sides. The 5-to-1 ratio comes out to be 20%. And you probably can't see that very well, but that's a digital
readout
there. It does show
20.3%. That's the north.
The northern slope. This is the eastern slope. It's showing 20.05. The southern slope is 20.8. And the western slope is 20.5. So going into the standards of approval, so the finding of a necessary hardship, the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for the purposes allowed in the zone. Because the pit does not meet the county's requirements, it has created an unnecessary hardship barrier limitation for the applicant, and without the granting of the variance, it will or it may have an impact on reasonable return for the property. Also, the property owner is impacted by a situation where the land was previously productive, providing a reasonable return compared to a pond that was constructed to create an amenity that does not meet the county's requirements now. The plight of the owner is due to unique circumstance, not to general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself, and there are no other related borrow pit projects in the neighborhood to compare. The property owner did not construct the borrow pit and anticipated that it would be constructed in accordance with county requirements. The minimum 50-foot front setback serves to provide separation with a focus on safety from a borrow pit and pond and the vehicles on the road right-of-way. It also provides a green space for stormwater drainage, utilities, and transition area between the right-of-way and the borrow pit and pond. Again, they would need 8,000 cubic yards to move to meet the setback. As a whole, they took out an estimated 115,459 cubic yards. The use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. The property is located on a dead end of a gravel road with adjacent parcels in agricultural row crop and single-family dwellings on large parcels in near I-35. The pond was created as an amenity and recreational feature that will be stocked with fish for the property, and it provides an improved view for some of the adjacent residences. We requested that documentation for the 5-to-1, and we believe that that was met. Granting the variance will not be contrary to public interest. There's a 33 feet of separation from the borrow pit to the front property line and over 50 feet from the borrow pit slope to the south edge of the road. Speeds of vehicles driving past the pond are likely to be slower as the dead-end road forces traffic to turn around. The closest dwelling is located approximately 200 feet north of the pond and is on the other side of 245th Street and is elevated 12 to 14 feet higher than the grade north of the pond. This adds to the view of the pond. Each recent visit, the pond revealed the presence of wild geese. By granting this variance, construction work in the area will be completed sooner, which will improve the safety of any traveling public on that road. The variance would allow Manoa Construction to complete the borrow pit instead of having Story County hire a contractor to complete the work. If the performance bond is not enough to complete the setback requirements, the county and taxpayers would be responsible to the difference of the bond actual cost. The spirit and intent of the C2C and Story County land development regulations are protected. With this variance, the property is or wouldn't be going against the designation of agriculture and farm service in the Ames Urban fringe plan. The primary land use is agricultural, such as row crop growing activities and livestock production. Pond construction is a neutral feature that relates to the conservation practices, beautification, and creating wildlife habitat. Due to the location of the property and rural setting on a dead end gravel road, anticipated lower speeds of vehicles and location to I-35, large agricultural properties nearby, single-family dwellings on large parcels, and the pond being over 50 feet from the edge of the road, all items contributing to meeting the spirit and intent of the ordinance. So then we had asked through routing and the concept review, the Stewart County engineer said that since the north slope has adequate slope, he's okay with the variance. And then we had various questions that we asked of the applicant, which they provided all in the bold responses to. We have planning and development staff recommend approval of the variance request application as put forth in variance 0319 with the following conditions. Manoa Construction shall provide evidence of meeting the 5-to-1 slope prior to planning and development staff issuing support letter of completion and Story County releasing the $20,000 bond. We believe they have met that condition. Manoa Construction shall construct a new access and drive with culvert in the northwest side of the property adjacent to 245th Street, meeting Story County engineering and secondary road standard prior to Story County releasing the $20,000 bond. We have an assurance letter from Manoa Construction for that condition. And then the final condition, from a required condition of the floodplain permit, Manoa Construction shall provide proof of meeting the no rise in the 100-year flood profile from an Iowa licensed engineer prior to issuance of the final floodplain permit from the Story County. And we have the assurance letter for that as well. With that, this planning staff suggests the Story County Board of Adjustment may consider the following alternative. Option two, that Story County Board of Adjustment recommends a variance request for the Manoa Borrow Pit as put forth in case variance 03-19 with conditions. Any questions?
So the 33 feet is from the road to where the slope begins.
It's actually from the property line, so the south right-of-way line to where the slope begins.
Okay.
It's 33 feet.
So
ordinance requires a 50-foot setback.
And the last change that was made to this was to make sure that they met the slope requirements. So they're back further in order to meet the slope requirements. Does that make sense?
Right. He so the final grading they had to take.
Right? He gets a bigger pond.
Well,
I'm not saying that is a bad thing.
No.
But basically, it gets a little bit bigger.
The
pond.
Initial CUP that was submitted was going to be two separate ponds, but through the process, again, there was two extensions. They needed that dirt for the I-35 mm-hmm. DOT project, mm-hmm. so it became, and the property owner supported the change from the two to the one. Part of what you're seeing here is there were issues with the bridge construction. There were issues here at this site. Manoa Construction hired a project manager who told us that he would be here today, and I'm not sure where he might be, but Jay Germeyer was hired to assist the company with addressing issues that came up with the construction of the bridge and issues with the site. And he's been very, I guess, accommodating. He's provided the information that we requested. From our review, just from a visual, it looked like the south, the west, and the north side met the slope. We had some concerns about the east side. They adjusted that. Mark, myself, the county engineering staff was there, the DOT. We had a site meeting. Who am I missing, Mark? There's several of us to do a kind of a final review of the project, and it was suggested that they adjust the east side. And then as we were reviewing this, it also came up that we need some assurance that they're meeting that 20, the 5-to-1, the 20%. From a visual, it looked like they met that, but they did provide that And then there's a concern, too, when they first started the project, the property owner had an access on the northwest side of the site to enter, and primarily it was, you know, row crop production. And so they've agreed to put that back in, meeting the county's engineering standards. So there's that issue, and then the performance bond, and, you know, showing that they're not affecting the flood, the base flood elevation, which that's part of the floodplain permit that they applied for, that they had, that was a condition before we put it in here to communicate that requirement.
So since we've had several cases with setback issues, that it, I'm assuming that if we pass this variance, that there will be some documentation with the county so that the current owner, when he sells it, the county's not going to come in 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and say you're not set back.
Yeah, well, now we do written findings of fact, too.
Okay.
So the next month we'll have a document for you.
Okay.
That will be recorded, and it will go with this, all that recording information will go to this property.
Okay.
Any other questions? No.
Mark,
do you want to speak to this?
No, I think it's as good as we're going to get. I mean, it's actually pretty nice. I don't know why they didn't know. They were measuring 50 feet from the edge of the road to do this deal, and they got down to the end and go.
And it was previous, I don't know.
Well, and I was telling them all the way along, you need to coordinate this with the county. Don't be calling me about this.
Yeah, you're the owner.
Yeah, well, I remember the owners is this CG Lee joint venture, which are two women, one in Wisconsin, one in Colorado, but Emma McCarthy Lee Park, I don't know if you remember that.
So that was the mistake. They did 50 feet from the road instead of the property line.
Yeah, and then they started whining about they couldn't afford to do the rest. And there's enough room there. 33 feet's plenty to move back and forth. And so
it
I wasn't too concerned about
gravel, rural,
dead end
road situation.
But we've helped them out a lot. I mean, trying to get help.
From a project standpoint, it was awesome that Mark and his crew entered into this agreement. Because strategically, it worked out wonderfully. Because then they didn't.
Right.
There wasn't a need to use county roads or state roads.
Right.
To do this project, so it was an awesome location.
Yeah. Well, in that corner there is—it's all sand. I mean, that's why they call it Sand Hill Trail. That whole area down through there is. So it was a good farmland to begin with. So it worked out well.
So everything, so you have letters of assurance from FEMA, or that they meet FEMA or whatever floodplain regulations and
provided.
Okay.
That a licensed engineer will have to provide that.
Okay, and that's one of the conditions,
so that
right?
Final permit document won't get approved until that's addressed.
Okay.
And we got about a 4-foot berm around the whole thing, so there's no way surface water is going to get in there other than a little bit maybe. That'd be from the other end, too. So.
Each time I've been out there, there
have
been
geese.
Nice.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And there's, when I went to take those photos, there was deer track all around. So
They're everywhere.
It's already being used, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with all of that said, no more questions. Do I have a motion on this?
Motion to approve variance 0319, option 2, with conditions.
Okay.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye. All right. Motion carries on the variance.
Yeah.
You can see that they started seeding that a year ago. A big mess, and then they finally got the county to look at it and go, this isn't going to work, and so they stopped.
On the west side?
See where that west side is seeded?
It's seeded really well.
Yeah, but I mean, but the rest of it wasn't done very well, and then they decided they needed another 10,000 yards, so I let them take it off of the east, off the south end, then they had to redo the whole thing, but the way they seeded it the first time, I wouldn't allow it.
I know we already passed it, but one question popped into my head. If anybody ever does trespass and drowns there, can the county be held liable for not having a proper setback?
Well, now we have an action that was approved by the... It doesn't the county zoning, but it meets the county's standards or process for a board adjustment.
Yeah.
Granted the setback. So.
Just.
That,
sorry.
If the property's ever sold, that will help in selling it. That it went through a formal process.
Okay.
We're going to post it, and the our insurance person knows that it's there. So. Okay. Additional liability on us. And I'd like to fence it, honestly.
Yeah, and you probably should.
Yeah.
In some regard.
There, see, we got another one on the east side, on the west side of the interstate.
Yeah.
We did 2 years ago, but that's kind of out in the country. It's, we don't worry too much about that. Yeah. But this one's a little closer to.
He's going to stock it, right, the fish, eventually.
So I can send my husband out there?
To drown
put it, or fish? He doesn't swim very well. Can you put his boat in?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll text them and tell them it got turned down.
They have to pay for the dirt.
He didn't show up. Probably, it didn't happen.
He's at the bridge.
Sure. Oh, yeah. He's yeah.
Do I not have a written staff report for the City of Ames Water and Pollution? Did I not print one?
Okay. You're asking me if you printed something?
I'm asking anybody.
I don't have one.
Okay, you don't have one?
I mean,
either?
I read it, but okay. I don't have it here in front of me.
All right, well, we'll go ahead then with discussion and consideration of. Oh, that's fine.
I just have one.
No, that's fine.
It was posted. That's fine.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure it was. discussion and consideration of CUP 06-19, City of Ames Water and Pollution Control Department. Jerry.
How much time do I have?
you got.
I'm walking out of here.
5 minutes.
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is a City of Ames project. They're proposing to construct 3 wells. 2 of them are going to be, they're planned to be located inside the City of Ames. 1 of them will be located in the unincorporated area of the county. So that's why this is something that requires action by the Board of Adjustment. Neil Weiss, the engineer for the Water and Pollution Control Department, I had planned on being here. He was at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. This is in Section 36, Zone A1 Agricultural District. It's in actually in split zone. The west 3/4 of the parcel is A1 Agricultural District. The east 1/3 is R1 Transitional. You can actually do a public works project in either district with a conditional use permit. This well, though, will be constructed in the A1 district portion. Property was previously in row crops. The property's in the Ames River Fringe Plan. It's actually designated rural residential and natural area. It's located within the City of Ames. It's just contiguous to. It's corporate limits of the City of Ames. Project scope, again, City of Ames currently has 22 water wells that produce approximately 2.2 billion gallons of water per year. This project is proposed well number 29. It will produce approximately 88 gallons per year. They will actually remotely monitor how much water is drawn from this aquifer, and it's an aquifer, and it's important that, you know, it's time so that they don't draw down too much of the water. We posted some information from the city that they submitted so that, you know, it gives time to recharge. So they're going to be monitoring that very closely. Each well will be approximately 120 feet in depth. It is located within the 100-year floodplain. A floodplain permit will be required. When, you know, constructing wells are typically in low bottom areas near creeks, rivers, where aquifer levels are in abundance. The good thing is profile drawing that shows the wellhead will actually be elevated several feet above the ground. There'll be a perimeter 8-foot high fence. They're going to exceed our minimum standards. The wellhead platform will be, I think, 6 or 7 feet above the minimum base flood elevation. Project cost around $5.6 million. So this just shows you approximate location. The well that you're looking at is right here. Their water treatment plant is here on 13th Street. This is the Skunk River. The other two wells are this location to the west and to the northwest. This shows you a little bit better. So you're looking at green dots now, proposed project. These two are in the City of Ames. Also includes construction of water lines and communication line. improvements. Subject property, they actually acquired some land, which is represented right here. Again, the Ames corporate limits is in this area. There's an existing park to the south, so this drive, it's a dirt drive that extends to the north part of this park. I don't believe that there's a crossing. The north side of that river is heavily treed.
I think there's a crossing.
Is there a crossing?
Yeah.
Right down here.
Down
right,
below.
Right there.
Yeah, and also, is
like
there...
Like a footbridge?
Yeah, is there one to the left going up or not? Maybe not. I think that might be a power... By car drive, where it says car drive, isn't that a...
Right in
there? Right there? Is
a footbridge?
I think that might...
Possibly.
Yeah. Isn't that like the old pool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm...
Yeah.
But we're in the floodplain. It's in the eastern edge of that floodplain limit. But again, they locate these kind of projects where the underground water levels are high. This is the Ames Aquifer. 2.8 acres is what they acquired. The footprint, though, of this project is 0.05 acres. The wellhead will be 200 feet from the east and 200 feet from the west property lines. During the site review, there was some standing water, which we'll show you here in a minute. Surrounding land use, we're in Franklin Township. We're east of the Skunk River. Much of the land consists of row crop, woods, natural areas. There's like a tree line on the north and south side of the drive that extends to the parkland. To the north, east, and west, there's a 32-acre parcel that's in row crops, contains some accessory structures to the north. To the south, approximately 54 acres. This is, again, it's the North River Valley Park. There's an access from Stagecoach Road, which will be used to get to this well. We currently have it. There's a gate that's locked at the east end. It's in the floodplain, as I mentioned. They did provide some information from the Iowa DNR. They cited a resource to follow, which is through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And they note that typically in these regions, there are some species. If you go to that website, there's a couple of bats. Indiana bat, northern long-haired bat, and the rusty patch bumblebee are typically in these areas. And we've communicated that. They're aware of it, the applicant. And they're going to communicate that to their contractors. And if they find these, you know, evidence of these species, there's more that they have to do. They have to reveal that to the DNR. This is a profile. This one here is about 120 feet. A couple of the others are a little bit deeper than that. And this shows you the actual well head. So this red line represents the base flood elevation. This is the actual grade. So when it floods, that's about the level that it floods. So you're going to have a platform that's going to be constructed. And so it'll be the groundwater or the water that will be drawn will be protected from any floodwaters, which is the part of the goal.
So, Jerry, that drawing there, the one that's going down is the well, mm-hmm. and then the other one is the pipe back into town.
Yeah, this is a pipe that'll go back to the actual plant. Right. Yeah, this is the line that will draw the water.
Okay.
And then they got like pump control, the motor right here, which is electric, which helps for noise.
How tall is the platform? It's kind of hard to tell from the picture.
I think we're going to be around 8 to 10 feet,
okay,
approximately.
And is that a new standard with city wells to keep it above?
Well, there's a requirement that at least
you have
would have to be like 18 inches above this.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, that's why when in Des Moines had to redo all kinds of things.
Yeah, a lot of times there's like bike trails that go by these. When I was at Polk County, we reviewed projects like this. And as I mentioned, they'll have like a fenced area that will kind of help to keep wildlife out and those that have no business there. It'll be visited like monthly. They'll have staff from the water department monitor the equipment there. Again, the six things we have to look at: compatibility, property was acquired for the project. This type of project is typically located in areas such as this. The actual infrastructure will not be out of character based on project scope. Transition, there is some buffering there, but something like this, you want that to be visible. You want to be able to see it from a road right away. But like I said, on the north and south side of that drive going in, there is established mature trees. Traffic is going to be very minimal. But I think they said one visit a month. They'll have a truck with one staff person that will need to go there to monitor it. Parking and loading, again, it's a 2-acre site, so there's ample space to park a vehicle. No signs or lighting are planned. Project has been reviewed and received approval from the Iowa DNR and the Corps of Engineers. Applicant will meet the Iowa DNR requirements during and after the proposed wellhead for erosion control. They're going to have to get a permit for that. The motor, again, will be electric. They're going to monitor mow the site. It'll be the plant grass seed. They have an engineer, HDR, is actually doing the actual design work. It'll have to meet the American Waterworks Association requirements as well. Here's some site photos. This is actually north of the site. We're looking to the south. You can see that standing water. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like in this area here. This is the turnaround off of Stagecoach Road. You can see the gate here. There's a closer view. It'll be off to this area. And I have a feeling that when they actually do start construction, this will be dry. There's the gate. This is actually looking to the south, and that's looking to the north on Stagecoach Road. These are additional standards that are required for a conditional use permit. We provided responses to those things in the staff report with regard to light and air, hazards, impairing property values, and then being in accordance with the comp plan and the county's regulations. Conceptual review is May 23. They submitted on the 24th of May. Planning staff had several questions that they addressed. That information is in the staff report. Engineering Secondary Roads commented that there's a tile line that, because again, they're going to be constructing a water main, and if they impact it, they're asking them to repair it if they do. And they've assured the county engineer that they will do that. We did send notices on May 29. Because it's in the fringe, we always like to let Ames and Gilbert staff know about projects. And then we did send notices to all the landowners within a quarter of a mile, did not receive any responses. June 5, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. For the most part, the applicant was here and just talked a little bit about project schedule, made himself available for questions, and which there weren't any. And the chair of the P&Z added that there was information about the process that they go through to draw water and provide assurance that it won't be drawn dry so that it adequately recharges. And there were no comments from the general public at that meeting. So objective, again, CUP process is to encourage compatibility of the proposed development with the environment and with the existing and future land uses in the area. Again, this is a capacity project to address future use, and then two, they don't want to have to ration water. Apparently, they've had to do that in the 70s during dry times. The site for the project is strategically located over the Ames Aquifer, and the water well project will increase new source water to offset new growth in demand, as well as to offset the loss of productivity with some existing wells in the downtown area. And again, as I mentioned, the rationing is something that they do not want to have to do or require. property owners to do. The water well is being designed by a professional engineer, HDR. They've obtained a 404 permit from the Army Corps of Engineers and an NPDES permit, which deals with stormwater erosion control for the site. So at the June 5 meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the CUP and recommend item one, which is approval of CUP 04-19. It's the water well project and approval as submitted with no conditions. Any questions?
Yes. So the species, I thought that was a condition. Or is that a promise? Is that part of their...
That is something that they're required to monitor. The DNR report indicated that they didn't do any site analysis, and right. But they cite the U.S. Fish and Wildlife as right. a resource. And so if you go there, you can find out that these are some species that are typically in areas such as this.
Well, that's what it said they were going
to
do.
Right, and they have to monitor that. And okay. This is pretty typical of projects like this. And so it falls on the city, it falls on the contractor to monitor those species. And they have to report it if they see that bee or those two types of bats.
But so will they be giving you a report before they begin construction? Is then the question.
It wasn't a part of a condition, but we could certainly inquire with them. The good thing is there's no, like where they want to build this, it's farm ground. They're not going to have to remove trees. And right. there's usually a window, and you usually want to do that like late fall or early spring. And we might be on the edge of not being a prime time to remove trees. But like I said, this is...
It's not habitat.
It's
in that farmland.
Yeah, no, I know. I just...
Row crops.
If it's along the skunk, which it is, there's
but
always...
That type of standard, that's pretty typical of what is required to do infrastructure improvements. Okay. But we can certainly stay in contact with it.
Any other questions? Matthew's okay. Karen, I'm good. Okay. With that said, we obviously have no one from the public, so I guess I'm looking for a motion.
I move that we approve option one under CUP 04-19 and approve the CUP as submitted.
Second. All right. We have a motion and a second. Stephanie, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Neubauer.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye. Motion carries.
Let's put a condition on there.
it's too late now.
Save the puppies. The bees.
Exactly. All right. Any comments from the board or staff?
I have a comment. I'd like to formally introduce to you our new planner,
yes.
Marcus Hammond.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
He comes to us from the Council of Governments in Creston.
Oh, well, you know, my brother-in-law, possibly, Kevin Cruz. He's with the city of Creston.
I've heard the name.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he might have been on one of the boards.
Possibly.
Possibly. So.
Nice. Well, welcome, Todd.
He's been
I guess
with us for
Ireland.
A couple of weeks, and it's been great having him.
Good.
He's helped us out quite a bit. He's still learning.
Yes,
but
you'll enjoy
it. I think he's enjoying the work.
Yeah.
And so yeah. We're happy. Thanks. And then two in the back was our planning intern, Gabe Nelson, who left at 5.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's a grad student at Iowa State, getting his master's in planning, and he's got another year left. So he's helping us out a great deal too.
Great. Are you originally from Creston?
No. Oh. I grew up mostly in Sioux City.
Okay. Great. Well, welcome to Scurry County. Good. Anything else?
Please stop typing.
What?
Oh, we haven't adjourned yet. I'll wait till we adjourn.
Okay.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and adjourn. Do we need a motion to do that, or can we just say we're adjourned?
Motion.
You can do a voice vote.
Yeah. Okay, voice vote. All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Okay, we're done.
Speaking of puppies...